Welcome to Audacity Works, a podcast inspired by and dedicated to the working artist, the creative entrepreneur, and generally, doing the damn thing. This exists on the premise that the world belongs to those who have the audacity to believe that their lives have value. This is for you. Hi friends, happy new year, and welcome to Audacity Works. I am your host, Rachel Strickland, and this is episode 11, where we talk about toxic warring studio culture, which we can't talk about without talking about competition, and also when to leave your current situation. But before we jump into all that good stuff, some news. If you're on my mailing list, you may be wondering, where is Woo Corner for January? If you have no idea what I'm talking about, I'll tell you. Every year, I draw a tarot card for each month of the year, specifically for the readers of my mailing list, and it goes out once a month, and it's called Woo Corner, and I just tried it out, as all things go, as an experiment, and I got such good feedback on it, and people seemed to really vibe with it, so you know what? Kept doing it, and I'm going to do it again. That's going to go out on Friday, so I will drop a link in the show notes if you want to get on that. You can always jump off again. You know, this is all a relationship of consent. So if you want to see what's up with Woo Corner, get on there before Friday morning, because that's when it's going to drop. So back to business. This topic for today came about because of two requests. I've actually gotten numerous requests for like people asking to hear about what to do if you find yourself in a toxic studio culture, particularly if there's warring studios in your location. And one of these came from my girl Rebecca, and another came from my girl Michelle, who asked specifically, how do you know when to leave a job? And these are not necessarily the same questions, but I feel that they are in support of each other. So they really do go together. So we can't talk about warring studios in a small town until we talk about competition and why competition is healthy. In any industry, competition is healthy. It sets the bar high. It keeps people accountable. It's good stuff. And a question that I used to get asked a lot, I don't get asked this much anymore, when it's become a little bit more prevalent to do mentoring work, particularly around business coaching in circus and performing arts. But a question that I used to get all the time was, why are you doing this? Like, why are you giving away all these secrets? Well, than giving them away? Well, actually, yeah, I have given a lot of them away, and I'll continue to do so. Like, why are you doing this? Aren't you making more competition for yourself? And I was like, yeah, I'm making higher caliber competition for myself, because this is a jungle. I don't want you to get eaten, and I don't want you to burn down my jungle, because that's what happens when we don't share knowledge. If we don't share our rates, and I do mean talking real numbers with the people in your local community, and that's how undercutting gets really prevalent, and undercutting's always going to be a thing. It's not just going to disappear. But a lot of times it can be avoided if we just speak openly with each other. There was this one particular instance where I was contacted about an event, and I gave a quote, and you know, they'd be shopping around as they do. And a friend of mine gave a quote that was probably a third of what I had quoted. And she was highly skilled, just not very skilled at negotiating or booking gigs for herself yet. And the client was upfront with me and like, we're going to go with this person because they gave us this quote. So then that gave me an opportunity to make a choice. One, I could be a salty little bitch about it, get mad at my friend, talk about her behind her back, and then hold a grudge and be resentful. Another choice that I had was to sit down with her and have a loving, frank conversation. And that is, of course, what I did, because who wants to sit around and be pissed off all day when your other option is to actually do something and connect with someone? And she was She was kind of mortified. She's like, I had no idea. Thank you for telling me. I'm like, yeah. And you can always approach this from a perspective of, you know, you can be making more. You can be charging more. The market will support it and people will pay it. That is one way to approach this. It doesn't have to be like, you brought the market down and everybody hates you now and you should be so ashamed. Like, do you know how much good that does? It doesn't. It doesn't do anybody any good. So if you are, and I know this is tangential, but if you are like in a place where you can see a discrepancy in pricing, you are free to have a frank and hopefully kind conversation with someone so that we can continue to either bring the market up or keep it where it is, or anyway, not burning the jungle down. You see what I'm saying? So on to the main course now. A question, I'm going to kind of reword it, but I got asked this. I want to suggest an episode about navigating toxic studios, and more specifically, what to do if you've had to leave a place because of a toxic culture. And that's the only place that you've ever been. So, super fair. And this is really prevalent in smaller cities and towns. I want to first draw attention to what it can be like when this isn't the case. I get it. You know, if you're in a small city, smallish city, and there are a couple of studios, and maybe you feel really protective over your space. And I don't know who I mean when I say you. I guess I'm talking about the studio owners. But before I get into the nitty-gritty, an example, in my opinion, of a community in which this is not the case, at least not that I experienced in the 7 years that I lived there, is San Francisco. There's lots of studios in San Francisco. Most of the professionals who live and work and coach in the area teach at all of them, or like give workshops at one or teach regular classes at another, and there's no bullshit, right? All of these artists are also pretty much all working for the same competing events production companies and other people who are booking circus for entertainment. And there's just, of course they do. Like, we needed as much work as we could get. And I just always thought San Francisco and the Bay Area in general was a good example of how an artist and a coach should be free to teach at as many studios as they wish to train at as many studios as they wish to. So yeah, if you're eager to see what that is like, that is an example of where you can find it. So the bitchy warring studios thing, I have to preface this by saying I'm very, very much coming at this from the perspective of an artist and a coach. I'm not a studio owner. That is not an accident. I'll say that again. I'm not a studio owner. I've never run a studio or owned a studio, and that's very much intentional. I don't want to. I have never wanted to. I have many very dear and close friends who have run studios and schools and training spaces and facilities, and I was able to hear their concerns, but I do only have my own perspective and lived experience, so that is the perspective that I'm coming at this with. I know that if I brought a studio owner or 12 on here on the podcast, then we would get a lot more perspective, and maybe that will happen in the future. But for today, this is from the perspective of students, coaches, and artists in studio culture. So because the word toxic gets thrown out quite a lot, I want to kind of dive into what that means and what I mean when I'm using it. What makes a studio culture toxic? Some examples off the top of my head include harassment of any kind, obviously. Hard pass? Nope. And I also find that there is a practice that's coming up of asking coaches to sign non-competes, and I, again, don't know the details and the nitty-gritty of this situation, but I feel that unless you are paying someone a living wage and giving them enough to live on, then it is unethical to ask them to sign a non-compete, because how else are they supposed to be supporting themselves if they can't, like, if they're not getting it from one place, they need it from another place as well. So that's just another example. Like, any kind of practice that feels manipulative, I don't mean asking for free work. Anyone can ask for anything. Like, we need volunteers for the showcase. Cool. You are free to say yes or no to that. But when it's expected of you to do a great deal of unpaid labor or your position is in jeopardy, that seems problematic to me. So right now I'm going to be speaking to the students and the coaches and the artists that are going to training facilities and different schools. If you feel that you are being asked to, like, show your loyalty to one place and shun another, this is my advice to you. Be Switzerland. This fight, if there is like a warring culture in your local community, that's not your fight. Don't get involved. Don't engage in the fight. You be Switzerland. Walk into any training space you want with your big smile or not. You know, I'm not going to tell you to smile, but like, go in there confidently and show other people, if this is not something that you've seen in your local community, show other people that it can be done. Like, you can train at lots of different spaces. You can and should learn from lots of different coaches and learn different techniques. And it's just silly. It's silly to expect a student to only ever attend one school, work with one coach. That was my phone. I don't know if you could hear it, but you know what? I'm going to leave all this in. So that is my advice to the students, to the coaches, to the artists who want to train at lots of different facilities. Be Switzerland. Be neutral. Do not engage in the war zone. If someone starts talking shit about someone else to you, deflect. Like, change the subject. You do not have to engage. If it doesn't feel good, don't do it. Don't engage. So now say that you have had to leave a situation that seemed harmful or toxic to you, and it's the only place that you've known. Just let me tell you that even though your heart is probably bruised and you're afraid of walking back into the fray, it's not always like that. It's not. And you can and will have something better. And it does, in fact, require you to show up at a new place and become part of a new culture. And I hope that you will find fortitude in yourself to walk into new spaces, even if old spaces have been harmful to you, and be willing to take possession of a new space and a new community, and let that place carry you and support you. And I also wanted to speak to my girl Michelle's question, like, when do you know it's time to leave a job? And my super simple answer to that is when you want to. And we can get all up in our heads about this, because what are we going to do afterwards? And what if there's nothing waiting for us? You can always line something up. I mean, that's how we're able to negotiate better situations for ourselves, is if there's leverage from another offer. That can be a really nice way to change your situation for the better. And obviously, if you're being mistreated, you should do something about that. Either address the problem directly and with extreme clarity, or leave it. But there's no situation in which I feel that it is merited to remain in a place where you cannot and do not thrive. And if you're not thriving in a situation or a job, let's look at it from a bird's eye view. Like, is this something that I have control over? Can I change part of this environment that's not working for me? Can I change something that I'm doing that might not be supporting where I want to go? You know, look at it like an experiment. And if you can't find a way out or a way to make the situation feel nourishing to you, then maybe it is time to leave. And if you want to use some other metrics, here are some other metrics. When is it time to leave a job? A, when you fucking want to, when you don't want to do that goddamn job anymore. All right, so much French happening right now. But honestly, if you wake up every day and you're like, ugh, I don't want to go in and do this, you should not be doing that. I can't conceive of any reason where it's worthwhile to be miserable, especially when you can change the circumstances by removing yourself from a circumstance. Another metric that you can use to look at your situation, like, is it time to adios from here? Is if you're still learning something, if you've learned everything that you feel you have to learn from a situation or a job, then yeah, maybe you're bored and maybe you're ready for a new challenge. And I feel like the major resistance that we have to changing our situation in terms of jobs is financial, right? Like, well, this is where I'm getting my security from, blah, blah, blah. And this is going to sound super oversimplistic, but I'm going to say it anyway. We all know the downsides of capitalism. This is the structure that we're living in, at least here in the United States. So I won't bother expounding on the downsides. I will say that the upside on this double-edged sword of living under capitalism is that there are so many ways to make money. So doing something that's making you miserable, why? No reason why. Let's not do that. Let's do something else. Just one last thing about when to know when to leave a job. I didn't realize when I was in a not great work situation that it wasn't great. I just thought I was lucky to have work at all. And I felt I was constantly just trying to prove myself by working myself to the bone and that I was always falling short. I wasn't. I was doing really good work, very solid work, but I just didn't feel like anyone saw my value. And I want to tell you, if you feel that you are being treated like shit and not being valued, you're probably right. And I knew that, but I also just wasn't ready to do anything about it. And I was scared. And of course, I was unceremoniously let go in favor of someone who was going to do it cheaper a few weeks later with no communication whatsoever. I think it was someone who worked like three levels below sent me an email like, oh, okay, bye, I guess. So yeah, if you feel like you're not valued, you're probably right. And then you can choose to do something about that by addressing the issue or doing something else entirely, because you are free to do as you wish. I've got my eyes on the time, coming up on 20 minutes, and I want to keep this one short today. There is, again, in the show notes, a link if you want to sign up for my email list, because Woo Corner is going out tomorrow. Tomorrow is Friday, January 6th, right? She goes and clicks on the calendar to make sure. Yep, I'm correct. Good. Aren't you glad when you know what freaking day of the week it is? Thank you all so much for being here and for listening. Thank you for your podcast request. Please keep them on coming. I'm enjoying the list and adding to it and plotting my next moves. So you can reach me on Instagram at Rachel Strickland Creative. If this was valuable to you, the best possible thing that you could do for me is to share it with someone else who you think it could benefit. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your ears. Thank you for sitting and having a chat with me. Don't go back to sleep.